This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodl Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
So I'm talking to Kirsten Gottschalk from ICRA, who is one of the people behind the Skynet, which is a new distributed computing project which is looking at astronomical data. So tell us all about the Skynet, Kirsten.
So as you said, Megan, it's a distributed computing project aiming to use your spare computing power, because I don't know if you know this, but your computer is bored. It's sitting there with spare computing power that we could use to process radio astronomy data. And who knows, maybe we could discover something amazing.
Cool. So this is, it's radio data from which, what kind of telescopes?
It's from radio telescopes. To start with, what we're doing is we're processing data from a survey called HiPass that was taken with the Parkes radio telescope here in Australia. And the aim is to process data that's already been processed to prove that our system works and that distributed computing is a good solution for radio astronomy data. And then after we finish processing that data, we're going to move on to some simulated data that from ASCAP to maybe help determine the best way to process that data. And then we'll move on to real data from other radio telescopes around the world.
Okay, so what's ASCAP?
ASCAP is the Australian Square Kilometre Array Pathfinder, and it's currently under construction in Western Australia at the site that is the core, candidate core site for the SKA, the Square Kilometre Array. It's going to have 36 dishes all connected together. It's being built by CSIRO here in Australia, and it's going to be a very powerful survey telescope. So its aim is to survey the entire southern sky looking for different radio sources. So the Skynet will take data from ASCAP, this telescope, and will process it to find those sources and tell the astronomers, oh, you should look here, you've got something here.
What kind of objects are you actually going to be looking at? I mean, are you looking for aliens, or are you looking for pulsars, or what kind of things are you looking for?
It really depends on the survey. I think mostly we're going to be looking for radio galaxies, so galaxies that are out there that are emitting strong radio signals as opposed to strong visible light. We might find signals from pulsars. It depends what data we start processing. That's the great thing about the Skynet, is that it uses your computing power, but the scientists can choose whatever they want to do with that computing power. So if they have some data and they need to look for some pulsars, they can change what happens with the data. If they want to look for aliens, they can do that too. So they can control it from this end, depending on what data we've got going.
Okay, cool. So this is kind of like the SETI at Home project, but working in much more diverse parts of astronomy.
Yeah, exactly right. So it's very similar in that SETI at Home used your spare computing power as well, but they were simply just looking for extraterrestrial signals from extraterrestrial life. But we're going to be looking for a range of different things. So any type of astronomy that uses radio data could be used with the Skynet.
So why do you need the Skynet? Why have you not got computers that are big enough to process all these data sets anyway?
Well, at the moment, we do have computers that are big enough, but supercomputers are very expensive. And as telescopes like ASCAP and maybe even the Square Kilometre Array in the future, as they start coming online, they're going to produce more data than we've ever had before. And it's actually a real challenge for us to deal with all of this information. We don't have computing powerful enough for these telescopes that are the next generation, the ones that are coming in the future. So we need solutions for what we're going to do with all of this data. Now, it's probably not going to be all processed through distributed computing, through your home computer donating its spare time. But this is a solution that might help science that couldn't be done because maybe the science couldn't afford to buy some time on a supercomputer. And we can say, oh, look, we've got some, you can use some computing power over here. So maybe other science will get done that couldn't get funding, or we can complement the supercomputers that will be built for ASCAP and the SKA and take some of the load.
So what kind of computer do you need to take part in this? I mean, does it run on Windows, Macs, Linux?
Any type of computer. So we have, it's all run through what we call Java. So that Java is a program someone else created, and it's on every computer. And we run completely within Java, which means we're very secure. We have no access to the rest of your computer at all. We just run within that Java section. And it means that we also can run on any computer. So Windows, Mac, or Linux, it doesn't matter. And we also, instead of just using the pop-up, you can use it within a web browser with a pop-up. You can also download, if you want, an automatic piece of software that just automatically, whenever your computer is on, is donating to the Skynet. And that you never see, it's always in the background. And we have a piece of software for Mac, PC, and Linux as well.
Okay, cool. So, but it doesn't sort of take over your computer. So if you're doing something else that's like heavily using the processor, it doesn't impact this, having the Skynet running doesn't impact on what you're normally doing.
Not at all. It's designed that if you need to use all of your computing power, the Skynet will do nothing. But if you walk away and aren't using it at all, it'll use all of it. So it scales up and down depending on how much you need to use of your computer. We've actually tested the program the Skynet is based on. It's called Nereus. It was developed at Oxford University by Dr. Rhys Newman. And we've tested it while people who play like very memory intensive games that had it playing, running in the background while they were playing their games, and they didn't notice a difference at all to the gaming. And if you've ever played a computer game, I'm sure you'll know that if there's anything going on in the background that's using up memory, you do notice it when you're playing the game. So it definitely scales right back if you need that computing power, but then if you walk away or you leave it overnight, it'll use all of your computing power. So we launched the project 3 weeks ago on the 13th of September, and we had amazing response. We actually had 3,000 members sign up in the first 24 hours, which we were astounded by. Like, we knew that people would be excited about being able to help astronomy, but we didn't realize just how much. And we've been so impressed with the community that's built up around the Skynet already. Like, we just surpassed 100,000 hits on our website yesterday, and it's just been absolutely crazy.
Wow. How much of that is due to the name, and how many Terminator fans do you have on your forum?
I think we have quite a few Terminator fans on our forum. No one's really admitting to it just yet. I think we did get a lot of publicity because of our name, and that's one of the reasons that we chose the name, of course, is to help get our name out there. But I think people have come along and are staying because of the ability to be involved in radio astronomy. And radio astronomy is really taking off at the moment. It's an amazing science. And we're at the point where we're starting to build and design amazing instruments. I mean, the Square Kilometre Array will be the world's biggest science experiment when we finish it. And the Skynet is going to be part of that.
So if your computer finds something really cool, do you get credit for that? Like with Galaxy Zoo, if you find a really interesting object, like Hanny van Arkel did with Hanny's Volwerk, she got credit for it and she's now on a lot of the scientific papers. If your computer finds something really exciting through the Skynet, what happens?
So we theoretically could track that discovery back to your individual computer, but we like to think that we're working as a team together and everyone's donating a little bit of their computing power so that we create this awesome thing, the Skynet, which has the power to make those discoveries. So that will be, instead of attributed back to you, will be attributed back to all the members who are donating, because it is a completely random chance what piece of data your computer's processing, and you don't actually have to do anything. It just sits in the background and does it itself. So it'll be the Skynet as a team that discovers something rather than an individual person.
So will we see the Skynet credited on papers in the future?
Who knows, maybe.
The Skynet collective.
The Skynet members.
Is there any chance of it becoming sentient?
Well, if you go onto the Skynet Twitter, it might have something to say about that itself, but we promise it's got no nuclear weapons, it's got all good intents, and we're watching it very carefully.
Excellent. Well, best of luck with it. So where can people go if they want to get involved?
theskynet.org. You need the at the beginning, so theskynet.org, and you can sign up to be a member there, and you can look at how many credits people are earning. You can join an alliance or maybe form an alliance of your own and get together with your friends. And there's also a prize, I should add. If you reach a certain target, we haven't set the target just yet, but there's a target number of credits that you have to reach, and if you reach that first, you actually get an all expenses paid trip out to Western Australia to visit the Murchison, which is where ASCAP is being built and where the SKA might be built, to see the telescopes that are being built there.
Okay, so go check out theskynet.org and join in. Thanks for your time, Kirsten.
No worries.